You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hello, friends. You're listening to The Flannel Wizard, and today we've got a dandy for you. This is a fun, very authentic, original theory, I think. Could be wrong. Maybe somebody else out there has already thought of it, but I don't know. I didn't see it anywhere. So maybe you thought of it, actually. Maybe it's something that you thought of, and you can let me know. But this is my top three theories as to when Tom Riddle Jr., a.k.a. Lord Voldemort, met Nagini. At the end of this, I'll discuss and provide a bit more commentary. The coming audio here, you're going to hear me sort of lay out this is actually a YouTube video, and I pull the audio for you guys so you can listen to it. And at the end, I'll provide a little bit of commentary and talk you through what I'm thinking. So without further ado, here we go. When did Voldemort meet Nagini, and was she in her human form? For a long time, the fandom has just believed that Nagini and Lord Voldemort met sometime after 1981, maybe in an Albanian forest. We know that by 1994, he had met and turned Nagini into a Horcrux, using the murder of Bertha Jorkins. And most of the fandom seems to believe that this initial meeting would be Lord Voldemort meeting Nagini in her snake form. But with all the new information concerning the Fantastic Beasts series, I believe they had a meeting much earlier, and I don't believe that meeting was by complete chance. I do believe that Nagini was in her human form, or at least able to switch willingly between human and snake. It makes much more sense for Nagini herself to intentionally seek out young Tom Riddle Jr. So I'd like to go over my top three theories on how Voldemort met Nagini. The first theory is wild, the second theory has potential, and the third theory might just be the one. So before we start, let's get the facts in order, and there's really only four that we need to know. Number one, Nagini is a maledictus that was born in Indonesia sometime prior to 1927. Number two, during the Crimes of Grindelwald set in 1927, Nagini forms a bond and a close friendship with Credence Barebone at the Circus Arcanus. Together they flee, and Nagini joins Credence in his quest for self-discovery. At the end of the movie, Credence is persuaded to join Grindelwald, leaving Nagini on her own. She's last seen at Hogwarts. Number three, 10 years later, in 1937, she does not appear, nor is she mentioned in The Secrets of Dumbledore. And number four, in the year 1994, she becomes a Horcrux for Lord Voldemort. So from 1927 until 1994, we have no clue what happened to Nagini. That's 76 years where she's just not mentioned. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that a character who was strongly associated with Aurelius Dumbledore, and that was last seen at Hogwarts in the year 1927, just disappeared and had nothing to do with our main characters until she randomly slithers by Lord Voldemort in a creepy Albanian forest in the year 1994? There's no way. Why would J.K. Rowling create such an interesting backstory for Nagini just to have it go nowhere? Nagini is invested in the Dumbledores and their story. She's so involved that I have a totally different theory titled, Did Aurelius Dumbledore and Nagini Have a Child? But besides that, she was literally last seen at Hogwarts. She's just standing there, and one can clearly assume that she's invited in or perhaps talks with Albus Dumbledore. This leads us to theory number one. I believe Nagini met Tom Riddle Jr. at Hogwarts or just prior to Tom's first year in 1938. Tom Riddle says to Dumbledore, quote, I can speak to snakes too. They find me. Whisper things. Is that normal for someone like me? Speaking to snakes is one thing, but to say they find me, why are snakes seeking this boy? How did they find him? Snakes just so happen to be finding the heir of Salazar Slytherin, or perhaps they're being directed to seek the only living heir of Slytherin, the only person that has the power to open the Chamber of Secrets. We all know that Harry Potter can speak to snakes, but they're not seeking him out or trying to find him. Maybe during Nagini's quick tour of the Hogwarts castle in 1927, she's walking down a quiet corridor or using the girls' bathroom on the second floor when she happens to hear or sense the calling of Salazar Slytherin's beast. According to legend, this beast, a very fantastic beast, is sealed in the Chamber of Secrets so that none would be able to open it until his own true heir arrived at the school. Could Nagini, perhaps under the influence or guidance of the King of All Serpents, be seeking out Tom Riddle as a part of a greater plot? Yes. It's definitely possible. She might end up living in Hogsmeade for a few years or find refuge in the Forbidden Forest. She was close to Aurelius Dumbledore and his father lives in Hogsmeade. Again, the last time that the fandom has seen her, she was at Hogwarts. That's a pretty big deal. She's nowhere near Albania and she doesn't seem to have a lot of resources. So it's not entirely out of the realm of possibility that Nagini was one of those serpents finding young Tom Riddle. Now, clearly she would have to wait until he was old enough to receive his letter from Professor Dumbledore. And even then, it would take time for young Tom Riddle to fully uncover and understand the mystery of the Chamber of Secrets. As a snake, she would have the ability to help Tom Riddle search the castle. If Sirius, in his animagus form as a black dog, can sneak into Hogwarts, then surely Nagini could infiltrate and explore as needed. In some fashion, I believe it's possible and highly likely that Nagini meets and is involved with Tom Riddle from a very young age. My video on Did Aurelius Dumbledore and Nagini Have a Child definitely explores this idea further. Be sure to check it out. But it's time to move on to our next plausible time period for Voldemort to meet Nagini. Theory number two. I believe it's highly likely that during his tenure at Borgin and Burks from 1945 until 1955, Tom Riddle met or heard a rumor of a Maledictus living in Great Britain. This was a critical phase in Tom Riddle's life where he was starting to transition into Lord Voldemort. It was during these years that he acquired many dark artifacts and spent much of his time traveling around Great Britain. During those business trips for Borgin and Burke, he hears about a woman who is cursed. A woman who takes the form of a snake. Now, by this time, Tom Riddle Jr. already knows that he is Slytherin's heir, and he controls Slytherin's monster. You can guarantee that a beautiful woman who turns into a snake would more than fascinate him. Tom is obsessed with the dark arts, and this woman is cursed. In Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, Dumbledore had this to say. Quote, I think he is perhaps as fond of her as he can be of anything. Some speculate that Tom Riddle and Nagini had a romantic relationship, but I don't think so. She's much, much older than the Dark Lord. But clearly Dumbledore believes there is a fondness between these two characters. She seems to have a very protective and motherly nature over the Dark Lord. Peter Pettigrew actually milks her fangs and uses that venom to nurse and keep Baby Mort alive. During his time at Borgin and Burks, he might have just had an initial meeting with Nagini, something very brief and fascinating. He was too busy acquiring dark artifacts, but he took special note of this woman. Perhaps he wanted to study her more later on and learn more about this curse and the magic behind it. And maybe he promised to help her in exchange for her help in collecting powerful magical artifacts. We just don't know. It's a full 10 years where Tom Riddle is learning and exploring the magical world. A meeting during this time period would not only add depth to Nagini's character, but also further intertwine her fate with Voldemort's dark ambitions. My third and final theory is set between the years of 1957 and 1967. This might be the most likely time where Nagini and Voldemort actually met. During these 10 years, Voldemort wandered the world, sinking deeper and deeper into the dark arts. He met the very worst of wizard kind, and he was undergoing numerous dangers, magical rituals, and transformations that by the time he resurfaced years later, he was barely recognizable, and he seemed to almost have a serpent-like appearance. If my theory number one and theory number two are incorrect, and Nagini does not stay in Britain, then I would have to assume that by 1927, after suffering the bitter loss of Aurelius Dumbledore and being shunned by local witches and wizards, Nagini decided to return home to Indonesia. What we do know about Lord Voldemort during this time period is that he traveled extensively, to the point that no one, not even his own followers, knew exactly where he went. But I believe that one of the places he traveled to was Indonesia. You see, this country is home to the wizarding world's most robust black market. Jakarta is the capital of Indonesia, and there's numerous trading of dark artifacts, creatures, and ancient spellbooks, and much more. Of course, the Dark Lord wanted to see what they had for sale. This is the perfect time and location for Voldemort to meet and cultivate a relationship with a rare Maledictus who takes the form of a snake. The magic behind the Maledictus curse would have fascinated the Dark Lord, and on Nagini's part, she knows that she is doomed to waste away as a mindless beast. So instead, she chooses purpose, to serve a master of the dark arts and a parcel mouth, someone who could actually speak with her when her change would ultimately become permanent. She may have seen him as a way to retain some sense of identity. And we know Tom Riddle can be persuasive and manipulative. Perhaps she believed that Voldemort's pursuit of immortality could be her salvation as well. She might have even been so desperate that she agreed to take an unbreakable vow. If he could conquer death, then maybe he could also halt her transformation. And for Lord Voldemort, as Salazar Slytherin's heir, it would seem only too fitting for him to have a serpent Maledictus as one of his closest followers. But why would she believe this foreigner from afar? He talked about immortality and dark arts, but where was the proof? She would need to prove his power, which is why one could speculate that he left Indonesia and took her to a forest in Albania where he killed a peasant and created his fifth Horcrux right before her very eyes. She literally watches him perform some of the darkest magic in the world. No one, and I mean no one, has ever witnessed the Dark Lord in the act of creating a Horcrux. This would be a great honor. She would either keep this secret or she would die. Voldemort also needs someone to help him reanimate his own body in the event that his first body is defeated and destroyed. Clearly, we know that Lord Voldemort needed the help of Peter Pettigrew and Barty Crouch Jr. in order to acquire a new body. So it makes sense that prior to his rise to power in 1970 and his intention to challenge the wizarding world, that he would think ahead and choose someone like Nagini to be a failsafe. Someone that he could trust to help him regain his former self. Someone that was completely unrelated to his other followers. I believe he intended for Nagini to be that very person. In the event that something does go wrong for Lord Voldemort, it's much better for him to have someone who is separate from his Death Eaters to help resurrect him. He knows that this is a time where he will be most vulnerable, and in order to retain his power and his omnipotent presence, he would choose someone like Nagini who is separate and distant from his main host of followers. He would want to keep the specifics of his return a secret and mysterious, which enhances his overall influence, terror, and mystique. Nagini would have been instructed to wait in or around Albania. Or perhaps in the event that she heard that the Dark Lord was defeated, then she knew to return to the very location where she witnessed the Dark Lord create a Horcrux. Either way, they had a plan. She was a part of his contingency. And as an outcast or a misfit, she would be relatively protected in the Albanian forest. Obviously, Voldemort has promised to find a cure for her affliction. No one knows the dark arts better than him. But as the years went by, Voldemort continued to grow in power and he believed that he was unstoppable. By 1981, he had all but forgotten about poor Nagini. And unfortunately, when Voldemort was finally defeated at Godric's Hollow, his spirit used what remaining strength he had to flee back to Albania. He was shocked, and he couldn't believe that his curse had rebounded on him. But his plan had worked. His Horcruxes kept his spirit from leaving this world. But when he finally returned to Albania, he found that Nagini, his trusted servant and most dedicated follower, was no longer able to take her human form. Voldemort needed Nagini, but it was too late. He could possess her as he did with many other creatures, but now he would have to wait many, many years until he found someone suitable to help him attempt his return. What do you think? Which of these three theories do you think is most likely? Could one of them explain how Voldemort met Nagini? Be sure to subscribe for more Harry Potter content. Okay, so there you go. If you get a chance to go over and like and subscribe to the YouTube channel, that would be great. It's just the Flannel Wizard. You'll see this video. It is titled something like, I think, When Did Voldemort Meet Nagini? Top three theories explained. And essentially, guys, I mean, you let me know, but I there's only like those four facts, as I mentioned. There's really not a whole lot of stuff on her. And I got to thinking about the idea of Aurelius Dumbledore. When they created this character, there was no other secret Dumbledore, right? There was nothing. If you would have said in like 2014 or 15, I forget what, the movies came out in 17 or something, right? I don't even know when they came out. But if you would have said back in the day that that Dumbledore had a secret nephew named Aurelius, or that Aberforth had a son, people would have thought you're nuts. They'd have thought you're crazy. Absolutely insane. And now we have this whole backstory where we've created a character and we just boldly moved forward with it. This character was a pawn in the war that is between Dumbledore and Grindelwald, right? Crazy. And then to find out that there's actual blood relationship there, and that he's an actual Dumbledore. I thought that was a joke. I thought Grindelwald was lying when he said that. And then no, sure enough, that's exactly what's going on. But I think with that in mind, and the idea that he's brand new, It just, and then we see Nagini, right? Nagini shows up in her human form and you're like, wait, if you're the fandom for years, you're sort of like, yeah, they met in 94. They met sometime later in the series. But then we go to the Fantastic Beasts and we see that she's a Maledictus and she's in her human form. That makes you go, you have to rethink everything. You have to rethink everything because it's just like, she's so much more interesting that she has this dark curse. She is, I mean, seemingly shy, sweet, innocent, but just very, I mean, she's very quiet. There's not a whole lot that's going on there. She seems like a misfit, an outcast, and she connects with Credence, with Aurelius. And I believe, personally, this is where I'm going to throw in a little bit of my sort of theory here. When you think about theory 1, 2, and 3 in this podcast, the idea that she is very close with Aurelius Dumbledore, and I believe so close that they were intimate, then I think you could set up some really interesting stories, some really interesting things where she is she has Aurelius's children. That maybe I just say it like this. Maybe he knocked her up. I mean, I was gonna say it like that. That sounds bad, but it's like they were together and they were trying to. They had no one else, and they were close to each other. So that close, I mean, there's also deleted scenes where they kiss. There's a scene where they sleep together at night, all this kind of stuff. And so I just think it's very possible that she is carrying his child and that she felt abandoned because he goes to stay with Grindelwald for like from 1927 to 1930, 10 years. What is she supposed to do? He's with the Dark Lord. The first Dark Lord. So what would she do with her child? It's also possible, and I didn't put it in this episode, that she maybe takes her children to an orphanage because she's starting to more and more not be able to take her true form, right? Maybe she's having trouble with that, and maybe as you go along, it's not just that all of a sudden she can go back and forth willingly, but it becomes more difficult for her to change. We don't really know the specifics on that. So if it does become more difficult.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I mean, she might try to find somebody to help her, and it might be that she goes to an orphanage. Is it the same one as Tom Riddle? I don't know. Would that be too much? Maybe. But there was an idea there when I was thinking about this theory, and one of the possibilities is that maybe she could do that. And I do think, yeah, maybe she looks and she says, okay, well, Tom Riddle would only be a year older than her potential children. So that was kind of tough because it's like he can't really help her, you know, and then she's going to, what, hang around? Does she befriend him, sit in the reeds and watch or something? What's she going to do? But I think when you think about that and you go back to this idea that we have this whole 67 years or so where we have no freaking clue what happens to her. We don't know what she does. And you have to decide as let's say you're the author, right? Let's say you have to tell a story and you have to tell Nagini's story. What would you tell? What would you have her do? And then you think about the fact just that she is a snake. We know where she is now. We know who she's connected to. We know where we saw her at Hogwarts. It's not likely. I don't think she can just. I don't even know if she can do magic with a wand and all that kind of stuff. I don't know what all she can. Does she have a wand? Can she just travel and apparate and take a port key? I'm sure she can take a port key, obviously, but like, does she have the resources and the money to just travel wherever she wants to? And maybe she does, but we see her at Hogwarts. And so I thought, dang, that is crazy. You're telling me that she is at Hogwarts standing there with Albus Dumbledore, who's right there. And he's probably, I mean, you can sense things about people, I think, right? And especially magic leaves traces, and this is a curse. This woman is carrying, she's got a blood curse. So I feel like that would be something that maybe a school could help her with, or she might be interested in looking for a cure and asking one of the most powerful wizards of the age, do you know anything about my curse? Have you ever heard of it before? And going inside with him to Hogwarts, that's what I was thinking. I was like, my God, why doesn't she just walk right in and go speak to these teachers? Maybe they know something. Maybe there is a way to break this curse. And even if there's not, it's just the idea that she would be hopeful. She would think that there is, and she would want to try to find that out. So yeah, from there, you're like, okay, well, she's only, that's 1927, 10 years later, is when Dumbledore will up and go talk to Tom Riddle and see him at the orphanage and say, all right, my boy, you know, you're on the list. Let's go. You're Slytherin's heir. We need you to open the Chamber of Secrets. And so, you know, she's not that far away. And I don't know how many gaunts are left. I know the video game that came out, Hogwarts Legacy, implies and seems to indicate that there are more gaunts, which I think is probably likely and makes sense. But those that would be coming to school or be of school age and stuff, don't know. And the idea that the king of all serpents, a basilisk, could control her, that seems like something maybe. You're not in her human form. Maybe she doesn't want to do what he wants her to do while she's in her human form. But when she, if she is unable and she's starting to not realize it or not be able to control when she shifts into her snake form, maybe then he can get in her mind or something, right? So as an author or as a writer of her story, you'd have to think like that and think about what is she going to be going through. So that was sort of the first time period, is just how she could be involved more at Hogwarts, and how interesting would it be if she were a part of opening the Chamber of Secrets, you know, one of these snakes that is like speaking to and finding Lord Voldemort. And I just thought that was interesting. So, and then in theory number two, we've got the idea that Tom Riddle in 1945 to 1955, he works for Borgin and Burke, and he just basically gallivants around the countryside trying to get dark artifacts. And we know that he does acquire those. So along the way, he hears interesting stories, right? He's picking up some lore, some bits and pieces here and there. And to hear about a maledictus, I would say theory number two is probably the weakest one, I think. Some people, you might think it's number three, because number three is a little crazy. But it's just wide open. And I feel like he could come across to her, but have a job, have responsibilities, you know, be on the clock and not be able to fully investigate Nagini and know who or what she is. Which makes me kind of think like, okay, he has an initial meeting with her in 1940, let's say 8, 9, or 1950. And then when he does vanish for those 10 years, which we'll get to in theory number three, he comes back to her and says, come with me, and takes her away. Possible. Just freaking possible, you know, in my opinion. But that's a time period where he could just be, you know, out and about. Maybe he does need somebody to go in and steal some artifacts, right? Maybe he needs someone who is a maledictus who can take different shapes, and she can slither in there and sneak in and I mean, obviously he could too, but maybe he wants to be more discreet about it, and he wants to be standing with a customer chatting at the front door, and they're like, you're not going to see my items today, Mr. Riddle. I don't think so. You're not getting them. And then Nagini's slithering in the back door, you know, picking it up, and out they go. Okay, right? Who knows? But so that's probably the weakest one. But I think number three, I was like, okay, if she doesn't stay in Hogsmeade, and if she doesn't stay around at Hogwarts like we see her in 1927, where does she go? You know, I mean, there is Hogsmeade nearby. There is Aberforth Dumbledore. Maybe she does investigate that. Maybe Dumbledore is like, hey, you should stay nearby. We'll take care of you or something, or we'll give you a spot at one of the inns, or you could work at wherever. And maybe she stays nearby, or maybe she goes to the Forbidden Forest and tries to seek refuge there, perhaps. I just don't know. But I think if she doesn't do those things, then she's probably going back home. She's probably going to go to Indonesia, and she's probably going to go at least where she doesn't stand out as much, or where she can kind of fit in. She knows the culture. She knows the area really well, right? I don't know how she got involved in the circus. How did she get sort of, I mean, she's kidnapped, right? She's enslaved sort of there. So she was taken. So maybe she really does want to go back home. Maybe there is something more. I mean, I think there was a connection with her mother, right? There's an article with her mother. I don't remember. But anyway, I think if she goes back home and then Voldemort is sort of like, okay, I'm going to go on my grand tour of the world and learn about other magics and other cultures. My God, you would definitely go to Indonesia and you would hit up that black market, and you would probably come across her, maybe as a vendor selling something or something. Or you just hear about darker curses, and maybe the Maledictus curse is something that happens more and more there than it does anywhere else. And that's why we don't have a whole lot of it going on in Great Britain. So yeah, he would go there and he would try to figure out as much as he could in terms of dark arts and magic and magical artifacts, and he runs into Nagini. Now, that's where the fascination part of Tom Riddle takes over, because he's like, he knows he's the heir of Slytherin. He's a Parselmouth, and he loves snakes, right? I mean, that's his thing, and here she is. This would be, it just would be fascinating. So that's where I get the idea that she has something that, I mean, she is something that he wants. And he maybe has something, a cure or whatever, that would help her. And so he's got something she wants. And there's this exchange of, hey, I pledge to, you know, be of service to you if you can help me figure this out. Right now, I'm maybe just very poor and on the streets and not making anything, any sort of life. And he can offer to her a life of, like, you know, not grandeur, but I mean, eventually like hope and at least something more than what she has now. So yeah, that's where I think they make this pact, and he does then say, you know, she's curious, like, what powers do you have? And if he even spoke of Horcruxes, or if he even decided to take and show her this would be a big deal. And the reason I don't think he would do it with anybody else is just imagine the idea of, like, telling Lucius Malfoy, hey, if I'm ever defeated, you know, I'm going to come back to you, and I'm going to be in the spirit form. Not able to do a whole lot, still have some power, but I'm going to need you to help me reanimate and turn me into. That would be a power trip for Lucius Malfoy or for some of the other Death Eaters, and I think you lose some face, right? You lose some sort of cred in terms of going back to your Death Eaters and saying, yeah, guys, you're going to help me. You know, I need you. I can't do this entirely on my own with the Horcrux thing. It didn't work like I thought it was going to, or whatever. I think right now the way we believe it in the fandom is just that he didn't expect that, and he goes back to Albania, and now it's sort of like, oh God, I have to get a physical body back. Didn't think about that. Didn't realize that the Avada Kedavra curse would build and amplify inside of me and just make me explode, and then my vapor mort form would be the only thing that's left. I mean, maybe he does think about that, and if he does, and he's very clever and very smart, and he's thinking about souls and splitting the souls, so I think he would be sort of locked in on that. Then the idea is, he would say, okay, I need a failsafe. I need someone who is separate from my Death Eaters, this being Nagini. She needs me. We're bound together. I've bound her to secrecy. There's no way that she could tell anybody else. Otherwise, she'll die. Maybe they do make an unbreakable vow, and she would actually die. And then he just promises her, hey, I have to go figure this out. This is not easy. No one's beat it before. And he goes on this adventure. You need to stay in or around this area in Albania. Or if you do travel and you hear word that I've been defeated, it would definitely make the news, right? So meet me back here, and I'm going to need your help to restore my body. That's kind of what I think happened, honestly. I think she's the perfect person for that that role. And then the tragedy is you come back and she's actually in her snake form, and she's permanently there. So we just don't, I think a lot of people assume that she's about, like, when we see her with Aurelius and we see her, you know, in 1927, I think people think, like, in a few years from then, she's going to permanently turn into a snake. And I just don't think so. I think it's a slow progression. She becomes more of a beast or a monster over time. And she's going to struggle with that. So I think she has years left where she still has a lot of control over this, but she knows ultimately this is where it's headed. And the other thing, if you're in Indonesia and you see a Maledictus, and this Maledictus has twins, as I've theorized before, and they're cursed twins, a boy and a girl, and they're Dumbledores, and they're related to Aurelius Dumbledore, and he doesn't know, and the Dumbledores have sort of cast her out, and she didn't fit in, or maybe she was sort of rolling around, didn't know she was pregnant, and she leaves Hogwarts, and then comes back and says, Dumbledore, I'm pregnant. It's Aurelius's child. And he's sort of like, get out of here. I mean, I don't know if he would do that, but who knows what she thinks. Maybe they said something that I don't know, that gave her this indication that she wasn't welcome, or just something. Not Dumbledore, but maybe just people in the area. And she had to get out of there, and she had to take her children back to Indonesia. And then you have Voldemort, who's there and who would literally be like their cousin or somehow related through the Gaunt family line. Because again, I believe Aurelius Dumbledore's mother is a Gaunt. I think I would imagine most people hear that and think, yeah, that's actually probably correct. Like Aberforth Dumbledore probably was with a young Gaunt girl who they didn't like the marriage. They were more into the pure blood line. They wanted to keep their line pure. And, you know, they end up saying, hey, you have to marry your cousin, Marvolo Gaunt. And there she goes. That's sort of my backstory my thinking behind how Aurelius and Dumbledore, Aurelius and Nagini would have children. But anyways, it does provide a really good motivation for why she would want to agree to go along with Voldemort. Not only the immortality thing, but also, hey, could you protect my children? And a mother would do incredible things to protect those children, right? We see Narcissa Malfoy do that very thing with Snape making the vow. So anyway, and actually that was just a vow on his part. It wasn't really a lot of risk for her. But, you know, you guys get what I'm saying. So yeah, then for someone to actually witness the act of a Horcrux, and it's terrible. I mean it's like what J.K. Rowling says is like, no, it's the most unbelievable. It's a horrible thing, and yeah, maybe she is somebody, one of those people who does witness that, and it's part of her turn to the dark side, or maybe she's weeping afterwards, but she's still bound to this individual, and she's slowly turning into a monster and a serpent herself. I mean, just don't know. 67 years, again, where anything could happen. And so I tried to pencil down a few ideas that I thought would be kind of cool. I think that opening of the Chamber of Secrets for theory number one is interesting, or just that she's involved in finding him and somehow, you know, early on associated with him. And then, the 1945-55 thing, like I said, it's a little bit dull, a little bit boring. I don't really know what would happen there or how. The most fascinating thing I could think of is that she would help him steal artifacts. And then the best one I just thought was this idea that she would be the person he would return to, and that she would be there to help him restore his body, and that they had a plan that maybe she can be a witch. She could actually be in human form and travel and get things for him or maneuver or do the spell. I mean, he needs Peter Pettigrew later on, right? He needs Peter Pettigrew and Barty Crouch Jr. to like carry him around. He's a baby Mort, you know, and he's trying to sustain himself off of unicorn blood and all these different things. So he needed an agent to help him acquire that body. And I think she was it. I really do think she was it. And I just think he forgot, or he too much time went by and he thought there were years left where she was going to, you know, be available. And the timing's just bad. You know, he's gaining power, thinking he can't be stopped. He's going to kill this little baby. No problem. That's easy, right? Kills mom and dad, Lily and James. Baby's next. He's thinking, I'm on the top of the world. And then boom, he's knocked down. And he goes back and he realizes, wow, I neglected somebody who I shouldn't have. She's still here, loyal and faithful, wanting me to figure out how to reverse this curse. But she can't help me the way that I thought she could. So anyways, those are my thoughts. Just random. This is the Flannel Wizard just ranting to you guys, and wanted to give you some more stuff on that. Let me know what you think. Send me an outpost if you want to at theflannelwizard@gmail.com, and let me know if this is crazy or if I should do a follow-up or if you have additional ideas and I can do a part two and make it better. I don't know. But I really do appreciate you guys. Appreciate all of your support. And thanks again. Stay watchful. May the Force be with you. And don't let the Muggles get you down.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.